Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Friday, March 6th.
Friday, March 6th. Happy Friday, everybody. Nick, can I run down the last four Dow stock movements?
Snackers, we got some big numbers here, up and down.
Plus 5% Monday, minus 3% Tuesday, plus 5% Wednesday, minus 4% Thursday.
Kind of feels like a cancel out situation.
This is insane, but this Snacks Daily is definitely at least 10% better than yesterday.
It happens to be our best one we've ever done,
This
Snackers.
Is the best one yet. We're kicking it off with Carnival Cruises.
Today.
The stock is down because of another quarantined cruise liner.
But it's down further than you may actually realize.
We found actually the perfect historical analogy for the travel industry's struggles right now.
Jack, second story, what do we got?
General Motors just unveiled a new 400-mile electric car battery.
If you bought the 300-miler, you're going to feel like an idiot.
But Americans have never really shown that they actually want electric cars in the first place.
If you build it, will they buy it?
If you build it, will they come?
Good question to ask before you invest in the
batteries. Third and final story, Aerie is the sub-brand of American Eagle.
And it's basically like Karen its parent on its back.
It's like
over
LeBron
here.
LeBron James in the fourth quarter. It's making moves to replace Victoria's Secret.
And American Eagle should just let it run free.
But before we get into that, we've talked about hard seltzer taking share of throat of Budweiser.
We've talked about how White Claw and Truly control 80% of the market, 60% of the market being White Claw.
That is a shocker. White Claw is 60% of the hard seltzer market.
Is the antitrust group with the government going to look into this or what?
But we're noticing a total lack of innovation at White Claw. They're getting a little too comfortable in this dominant
position. They're resting on their ruby grapefruits, you
there
could say.
There have been no new flavors in the past 16 months for White Claw.
Pretty much you're getting bored of cherry over there.
I actually just got a Twitter poll, like it was a sponsored ad. Again, what's your favorite White Claw flavor?
Snackers, whenever Jack and I do research on a story, 3 days later we get a bunch of social media ads for like White Claw.
Full story though, full disclosure, I actually think White Claw's gross.
Everything we're saying changed yesterday.
Wondering if I'm going to get some hate for saying I think White Claw is gross.
White Claw decided to listen to us and tweak a few things. They whipped up three new flavors.
Lemon, watermelon, and tangerine.
Would it kill you guys to like, you know, push the comfort envelope a little bit and come out with hibiscus?
It turns out they're new flavors. They just looked at whatever were the most popular flavors for non-alcoholic, like seltzer water.
Not gonna lie, kind of love how efficient their marketing team is here.
But another thing we found interesting, variety packs.
Get this, Snackers, 63% of all hard seltzer sales are variety packs of like a bunch of flavors.
That makes sense because a lot of people are trying out hard seltzer for the first time, so you're not sure which flavor you like.
Hey, you're a little curious. You're seltzer curious.
But it also makes makes sense because Starburst,
yep.
Skittles,
uh-huh.
Jolly Rancher, they only come in variety packs too. And this is like the same thing, but liquid and alcoholic.
Let's be honest, White Claw drinkers. You just want candy you don't have to chew.
Let's get to our three stories.
Boom.
You're tuned into Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Jack, strawberry or banana daiquiri?
Banana.
The answer is always a mix. Carnival Cruises continues its epic losing streak with another coronavirus-infected ship.
Have you even been on a cruise ship?
I haven't even been on a ship. I mean, here I am. I'm throwing basically these darts. I haven't even been on a cruise
Nana
ship.
Nana took the entire Kramer family on a Royal Caribbean trip.
Oh, my God.
Best part?
Yep.
Do-it-yourself soft serve vending machines.
I can imagine one of your brothers like picking up Jack and putting his face right under that thing.
I was 13. I could reach myself.
There you go. Now, the problem that is facing Carnival Cruises right now is not one disaster, not two disasters. No, it's a hat-trick trio of three disasters in 3 months.
The first one was when two Carnival cruise ships collided in a port when they were like trying to back out of their parking space.
Snack, as you've seen this meme, it's a 3 minute long train wreck.
And everyone's like, whoa, stop,
Jerry!
It's just like a fender bender in a Trader Joe's parking lot.
Except it included millions of dollars of damage and took place over 3 minutes.
The second disaster was the Diamond Princess. Right. This was the cruise ship that was docked in Japan for like 2 weeks because coronavirus was on board and everyone was quarantined.
Literally, there was an Australian couple. Get this. They were having drones drop off wine for them.
Wow.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, that's true. Third one came yesterday. There is another cruise line owned by Carnival Cruises. It's called the Princess Cruise. It's sitting in quarantine in waters outside of San Francisco.
Can we see this thing, by the way? We got to get out of the studio and see
this. Good point. I haven't checked, but it's got coronavirus on board, so it's pretty freaky.
The stock of Carnival Cruises fell 14% Thursday on this third development.
Now, this has been really bad for Carnival,
to say the least.
The spring tourism season is all but canceled.
Basically, they're spending spring break in their dorm room locking the doors.
According to the Wall Street Journal, industry-wide, cruises taking place on the Mediterranean Sea in Europe.
Lovely place.
They are 60% full, or as Wall Street's seeing it, 40% empty.
Over in Japan, the cruise industry is basically grounded, or I guess docked.
Now, in the Caribbean, things are still looking okay.
Yeah, let's just say don't cough on board.
Yeah. Don't cough on board.
Now, Carnival stock isn't just down 17% Thursday. It's down 46% since January 17th.
It's worth like half as much as it was 2 months ago.
But here's the crazy thing. If you look at the way the industry is trending, Americans have been craving more and more cruises.
Sales have risen 7% each year for Carnival Cruises since 2015.
You got little Jack Kramer sticking their faces under the ice cream machines, and guess what? There's nothing the cruise company can do about it.
The beautiful thing about a cruise, you book a ticket, and you don't have to decide anything. The ice cream finds you.
Basically, it's like a lifetime pass to just do whatever you want. By the way, Snackers, when the economy's strong, people tend to buy swimsuits. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies in short shorts over at Carnival Cruises?
There is a really close analogy to the current travel industry crisis. It's September 11th.
Back then, Snackers, people were afraid to travel right after the terrorist attacks because of more terrorist attacks.
This time, people are afraid to travel because of coronavirus.
Back in 2001, flights got canceled, profits of airlines got downgraded, and stocks fell.
But fear of flying eventually faded in months and years after September 11th.
That's because something like terrorism couldn't permanently end vacations and business travel.
The same could happen here, potentially.
When you're looking for comfort or context in market movement, Snackers, look for analogies. For our second story, American Eagle just announced earnings, but it's really an airy company.
Not to be mistaken with Aries.
Nope.
The horoscope.
Or Aquarius, the other part of the horoscope.
Or a Pisces, it was my birthday yesterday.
Or anything with E's or A in it.
No, Aerie is the company. If you Google Bralette,
yeah,
Aerie is the first thing that shows up on Google.
And that's because it's the sub-brand of American Eagle that's targeting teens.
Aerie was born in 2006 American Eagle. And now it has graduated. It's making its way in the real world.
Now, Snackers, you're probably wondering, okay, you got American Eagle. That's the brand everyone knows. It's like Abercrombie's kind of awkward cousin.
Its logo is a lot like Hollister. They're both like winged.
Which kind of reminded us of Abercrombie. It's actually a vicious circle. I think we're going to find out one day they're actually all the same company.
It's a tornado.
They're all making clothes in the same place in Ohio.
But if you look closer at American Eagle's sales, Overall, American Eagle sales rose by 2% last quarter. Not much.
But let's say you're part of the snacks team and Jack and I jump in snacks now to look closelier.
You see, the Aerie sales growth was 26% last quarter.
And American Eagle's brand growth was only 3%.
Right. To clarify
it fell 3%.
Now, to clarify, American Eagle is both the brand and the parent company that includes Aerie as well.
Oh, and by the way, Aerie has enjoyed 21 straight quarters of double-digit sales growth.
Jeez, that is five years in a row, every quarter growing.
Sit down and let that one sink in.
How many bralettes is that?
It's a lot of bralettes.
Now, how about the stores? Aerie has gone from side hustle to full hustle at American Eagle.
In the last year, American Eagle has slowly added 6 new stores for itself.
That's like one per 10 states.
Meanwhile, Aerie had 3 cups of coffee, whipped up 33 new stores in the last year.
There are now 150 Aerie dedicated retail stores in the United
States. Also, Jack and I whipped out the blueprints on these things. Turns out they're ideally and efficiently sized stores, not these big mall behemoths.
They're half the size square footage wise compared to a typical American Eagle, which is great because urban stores are big these days,
right?
Tinier stores. You're not in a shopping mall of America.
No, they're basically the size of one of those Auntie Anne's pretzel carts right now.
The Aerie brand is also flexing its media muscles with offline events.
Not only offline events, this weekend they're hosting their first ever actual big summit in Brooklyn.
It's called the Aerie Real Summit.
It's actually called the Aerie Real Summit.
It's all caps.
Yeah.
Which seems off-brand.
On the R-E-A-L. There are going to be a lot of high-waisted crop jeans going through Williamsburg's Lorimer L-Stop station.
If there are any snackers at the Aerie Real event in Brooklyn, I would love a pick. So hit us up at Robin Hood Snacks.
By the way, Ariel sounds like Ariel.
Ariel, who had the first ever bralette made of those purple shells.
Right. Scallops were the original bralette.
Now, there are values involved in this event because it is an airbrush-free zone.
Also, they're doing no catwalks at this thing like other lingerie brands.
No, but they have inclusive brand supporters from all walks of life.
Their models are non-models, which is so key.
You got the U.S. gold medal gymnast, Ali Reisman.
You got actress Busy Phillips.
And then you got a random CEO/scientist going on.
Yeah, she actually sold her company to Chevron, no big deal.
Right.
Ever heard of
it? Now, this is different than the supermodels you get at Victoria's Secret.
Very different strategy. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at American... at Aerie.
We are staring into the Victoria's Secret vacuum right now.
Snackers, last month we told you how L Brands, the owner of Victoria's Secret, sold off Victoria's Secret to a private equity firm.
Because it was struggling to connect with the new generation.
Right. The new generation is focused on comfort over cleavage.
We're digging inclusive events instead of winged lingerie shows on TV with catwalks.
And that's why Aerie is strategically positioned to take over Victoria's Secret's market share.
Think about it. 70 more Aerie stores are coming in 2020, according to American Eagle.
And that means 220 total.
But Victoria's Secret still has 1,100 stores. That's 5 times as many as Aerie in the USA and Canada.
So if you're Aerie, you're looking at the situation, you've got room to grow. For our third and final story, General Motors is going all in on electric cars.
But do Americans even want them?
Oh, we got to talk about what's going on with conferences these days.
Okay, let's talk about the tech conferences. Those things are exotic, high-priced VIP events.
You go to San Jose, you got Zuckerberg demoing an AI VR Bitmoji bot that's going to roll your life.
Now, General Motors, on the other hand, has rich Midwestern values. They just did a product unveil in the beautiful suburb of Warren, Michigan.
Everyone walks out with a tote bag and a pen.
Now, GM announced this week it's investing $20 billion over the next 5 years to make electric Cadillacs.
Not too bad.
Chevrolets.
Okay.
Self-driving cruise-like bots.
I'm following you. And then Hummers, right?
Yeah, electric Hummers.
Snackers, we're talking electric Hummers.
Now, they also unveiled a new car battery that gets 400 miles without a charge.
400 miles.
That's going to... a lot.
Does that cure range anxiety?
Perhaps.
Potential range anxiety.
Unless you're driving across country.
That's true. That could be a problem. Now, the goal, though, is to sell 1 million electric cars per year by 2025.
Bold move, General Motors.
Here's the thing, though, Snackers, that Jack and I found fascinating. Americans don't really want electric cars right now if you look at the numbers.
It's awkward, but we had to call it out.
There's not really a clear product market fit.
No, last year, in 2019, just 246,000 electric cars were sold in the United States.
In that same period, 17 million with an M cars in total were sold in the U.S.
That means, simple math, 1.4% of new cars sold last year in America were electric.
And
that
shocker.
That is a tiny. That's like, you can't even see that
Where
on a
is
pie
it?
Chart.
We're trying to do the pie chart. Give me the magnifying glass.
And we all know about half of those sales were in California.
Oh, classic. Snackers, if you're listening on like 101 right now or 280, you know what's going down. Look to your left, look to your right.
Yeah, you're surrounded by tractor trailers holding like 11 Teslas. They are everywhere.
Or you've got a little buzz going by you, it's another electric car, or you're in one.
In Vermont, you don't see many Teslas. In California, you only see Teslas.
Between the marina in San Francisco and Atherton down in Silicon Valley, there are more electric cars than people.
Now, in Europe and China, you have government regulations that are forcing both car makers and like buyers to go electric.
In the meantime, you don't have the same thing in the U.S.
No, you don't.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at General Motors?
If you build it, will they come?
Snackers, for the past decade, it's been like an awkward middle school dance. No one's making the first move on this.
Customers
thing.
Haven't demanded electric cars.
No.
Car makers haven't made them.
You better walk across this dance floor, buddy.
Now, Tesla has sold about 90% of the electric cars last year. And we finally have Volkswagen, Ford, General Motors, and everybody else is finally investing in electric cars.
They're finally making the first move, but car makers build electric cars. The question is, are the customers going to be there?
Now, Apple did this with the iPhone when they killed the headphone jack, which nobody asked for.
My mom is still confused. She thinks there's still a headphone
Apple
jack.
Apple made the first move, and guess what? Customers have come. AirPods are now the top seller wireless one.
But if customers don't buy electric cars, their car makers' profits will suffer.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us before the weekend? Carnival stock is down 46% because of three recent cruise disasters.
Snackers, remember to find a proper historical analogy.
Our second story, bralette icon Aerie is carrying its parent company, American Eagle, on its back.
And an entire market is wide open now because Victoria's Secret is on the decline.
Our third and final story, General Motors is going all in on electric, finally making the first move on the dance floor.
But do Americans really want electric? So far, numbers show they don't really. Now, time for our snack fact of the day. We got a two-parter here, Jack.
No, we got a two-parter, and they're both based on my birthday snack fact from yesterday.
This is a three-parter.
This is a three-parter.
It rarely happens.
Yesterday, we were talking Brooklyn Bridge. Emily Wanderer from Providence, Rhode Island.
Emily, please get some East Side Pockets on Thayer Street.
Emily tells us that Jose Maria Villa designed the first ever suspension bridge on the beach in Colombia while drunk.
Turns out this guy was drinking the whole time.
No, we couldn't verify that because Jose Maria Villa's Wikipedia page is only in Spanish. Yeah, and Nick and I don't speak Spanish. Yeah,
protecting intellectual property in the sand is a key thing here.
I love that. And then JJ Sully 96 on Twitter hit us up. We assume he's from Cincinnati.
Cincinnati people love pointing out things that are wrong about the Brooklyn Bridge.
He took issue with the birthday boy who said that the Brooklyn Bridge was the first ever suspension bridge. Actually, it was the Roebling Bridge, which was opened before the Brooklyn Bridge.
But they were both designed by the same person.
John Roebling, who immigrated from Germany to the United States
in
the
1800s. And we assume he was eating some pints of Grater's ice cream the entire time.
Emily, JJ Sully 96, thanks for hitting us up.
Snackers, fantastic week. Jack, you looked great. Great birthday. How
Thank
you,
H-Y-H-Y-S-D.
Snackers, have you had your snacks daily? Share with friends.
Post on your Insta story. Tag us at Robin Hood Snacks. It'll make our week.
Have a fantastic weekend.
This is Jack. I own stock of Carnival.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.